Podcasting from the beautiful Mile High City, you're listening to the Do It Again podcast, the official podcast of Scientific Wrestling, the undisputed leader in no-holds-barred, catch-as-catch-can wrestling. Here's your host, Jake Shannon.
And podcast, the official podcast of Scientific Wrestling. I am your host, Jake Shannon, and man, what a fucking 3 weeks, man. It's been fucking crazy. I'm thrilled to be joined by my partner in crime, Sam Cresson. Are you there, Sam?
Jake, I'm here.
Okay, good. So, yeah, crazy shit, dude. Like, I mean, you were there actually for the entirety of it. You saw my fucking stupid Popeye arm. I mean,
yeah,
I
was, that was nuts, man.
Yeah. Dude, what's so ridiculous is like it happens on day fucking one. And okay, there will be some people who don't know what happened, but basically, I just got out of the hospital. I was in the hospital for 3 days because of a severe blood clot. And the funny thing is, well, I don't know if there's anything funny. I find it funny, but Sam and I flew out to the UK on 9/11, September 11th. We were flying out. It was a long flight, right? I mean, 8 hours, 7 hours, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, we left from Georgia, but we had to fly from Denver. And so we'd already flown like several hours from Denver to Georgia, then switching planes, all that. Then we flew from Georgia over to the UK.
Yeah, to Manchester on Virgin Atlantic, which is like the greatest airline in the history of airlines, by the way. I really like, I hate flying. And that was a great flight. What a great company, man. I mean, all the stewardess looked like pinup models. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, that flight was excellent.
So we land. I mean, I'm totally healthy. I'm totally normal. Like, I'm feeling great. I'm in some of the best shape I've been in my life, and I'm feeling wonderful. We land, crash because of jet lag, and I wake up and my fucking left arm is just, I mean, literally it was like twice as big as my right arm. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, it was really weird. It looked like just like your other arm, but it was just two times the size. It was like a comic book character's arm or something.
It was retarded, man. Like, it was really weird looking, but I didn't know what it was. I didn't think it was a blood clot. You didn't think it was a blood clot. We just thought it was like, you know, some fluid or something weird.
Yeah, so I saw it. I figured it was just like some edema or something, you know. Yeah. And there, the idea that you'd be, you know, full of blood clots would be the last thing on my mind.
It's same. Well,
yeah, maybe you like slept on it weird in the plane and it swelled up. You know, you're up in the air for a long time, altitude change, everything. And I thought, yeah, maybe just like a, you know, drink a lot of water. You know, maybe a diuretic or something, piss a little bit, and. Yeah. The arm will settle down, and you had no injury. Nothing was hurting.
Yeah, there was no pain either. Like no pain. I had full function of the arm. And in fact, the only thing I was worried about really was just it getting fucking more ballooned. Like, right. Like it didn't hurt at all.
Yeah, that was, yeah. You were worried about it getting bigger. And so we're elevation. We got a wrap. We're wrapping it up to keep it kind of some pressure on it, so it wouldn't get any more swollen.
Yeah.
And it seemed to sort of improve a little bit.
It went down. Yeah.
So yeah, it came down. So I thought, okay, everything's normal. I would think it'd be gone by now, but after a couple of days, it went down a bit. The weird thing though, is that it never went away.
Well, So now here's the weird thing. I've got this fucking blood clot in my arm, which when it gets diagnosed, it's my entire fucking arm. Like the entirety of, like, they did the ultrasound. They're like, holy shit, your entire arm is fucking clotted. But we don't know that. So we do two fucking 3 day camps, and each day it's 6 hours. So that's 36 hours of fairly physical work. I mean, you know, it's not like actually wrestling itself, but it's physical work, getting up and down and grinding these, you know, showing the technique or whatever. Plus we did a seminar in Newcastle. Then we fucking walked like 5 miles around York. touring around on foot, the city of York.
Yeah, I took the train over there. We went through a bunch of castles. We were going up and down towers. We were cruising through spiral staircases.
We walked like that fucking crazy ass wall around York.
Yeah, we were walking the walls of York. I mean, I was like way into it.
Yeah, yeah, so, and we'll get to it because there's a ton of awesome shit. Like the pissers in London, we definitely have to talk about that.
Yeah.
But and then we go to fucking London, and this is on Sunday. We teach a full day of fucking wrestling, of catch wrestling, and then we go and walk around London with our fantastic fucking host. Brendan is like the greatest guy ever. Took us around like on foot. I mean, honestly, it had to be 5 to 7 miles walking around with a heavy bag. Then I fly fucking back. I do another international flight back. And I look at my arm and it's still not going down. And I'm like, well, okay. Everything I read about edema is that it should go down in like 3 or 4 days. And, you know, I figured, well, you know, Sam and I are fucking doing these camps and maybe that's aggravating it. And that's why it's not going down.
Right. That's what I thought. So people understand, you know, you would start coaching stuff first, usually in the morning or whatever, and you'd go as long as you could, and then you'd be like, okay, I got to stop. My arm's getting worse now.
I could feel like the skin stretching, and it would start tingling, and that was like, okay, yeah, my arm's filling up. I need to stop.
Yeah, so I just – that I thought part of the reason why it hadn't gone away was just because you kept – Whatever was exacerbating the problem kept getting aggravated by continually, you know, doing physical wrestling stuff, coaching stuff, and things like that. So I thought, all right, well, as soon as Jake's back home, this thing's going to be gone in like 2 days. He just needs to rest it.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, that's what we both thought. That's pretty much it.
So I get home, but it doesn't go down. So now I'm like, all right, I need to Google some other things besides an edema as to what this could be. I got to look it up and... because I don't think it's an edema now because I've, you know, done everything that they said and it should be going down. But so anyway, so I'm looking and blood clots pop up and I'm like, you know, of course I'm like, well, I would have already been dead. So there's no way it's a blood clot, but I'm going to look anyway. So I look and then all of a sudden it's like, check, 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 you know, as you go down like the symptoms. Yeah. And I'm like, oh fuck, dude, I need to get to a goddamn hospital. So yeah. I roll into the hospital and like, I took my kids to karate. And then I get home and I'm like, oh shit, dude, I need to fucking go. So I go into the hospital and the first thing they do is an ultrasound. So the woman starts scanning my arm. She's like, what the fuck, dude, your entire arm is clotted. And I'm like, man, I mean, it doesn't hurt. And I can use it. I've been using it for 2 weeks and she's just kind of blown away. Cause my entire, like from wrist to shoulder is completely fucking clotted. And then, then she starts moving it up into my neck and she about loses her shit. She's like, your entire left carotid is occluded, or clotted. It's like occluded. It's closed. You only have one fucking carotid artery.
So somebody wanted to choke you out. They only had to block off the other side and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I'm immune on the left side. So if I,
yeah, well, like you're already choked out on the left side.
Yeah, I'm already choked out. Yeah, exactly. Right. If they tried to choke me out, you on a blood shot on the left side.
You just have to get the right side and that's it.
Yeah. So, yeah, thanks for that. Now everybody knows my weakness. So they're freaking out. And I'm like, oh my God, this is just nuts. I mean, long story short, they're like, the chances of you, I had to retell the story to the fucking radiologist, to the doctors, to all the nurses, everybody. I had to keep retelling the story because they couldn't fucking believe that I had had this bad of blood clots and had been fucking doing all this physical shit for like 2 weeks. They're like, you should have stroked out or had a heart attack or at least have your fucking arm amputated. But I will tell you something, man. You know this, Sam. We have all these philosophical conversations, especially when we're out touring and shit. I'm not really a religious person. I mean, I'm kind of spiritual, but I'm not a religious person. I don't subscribe to any really religion. But I do have to say, this is like a textbook fucking miracle. I have no other explanation other than I am truly like the luckiest fucking dude alive. There's a million other dimensions where I'm dead. And I happen to be in this fucking dimension where everything fucking fell into whatever way, and I didn't end up, I have no, there's no like downside except, I mean, my arm is clotted, but they have me on blood thinners. And, but other than that, like I can use my arm. They're not going to do surgery. They're like, fuck it. You know, it, if it works, we're not going to fix it. You know what I mean? Like not do a naive intervention or whatever. So, I mean, it's just truly a miracle.
Yeah, dude, it's amazing, man. I mean, didn't want to think back on it. Like when he found out it was blood clots, was like, remember we were looking at your arm and up by your shoulder, we're like, oh, that's weird. Like those veins look kind of dark.
Yeah.
Like, you know, but we're thinking, I'm like, well, you know, whatever, the edema is pushing them out or who knows.
I thought it was just the fluid was making me puffy. So my veins were popping because I'm a skinny guy anyway. And my veins were popping like a bodybuilder.
Yeah, they were. We remember we were commenting on that, like, dude, you're like getting bodybuilder veins from this. And yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Just think, like, there's so many things that could have happened. And imagine, like, if we had to go to emergency over there in the UK.
Fuck, that would have been the worst.
Dude, that it would have been insane.
I mean, I'm not making a knock on their health system because I don't know it at all. What I'm saying is, like, you know, my family would be all over here and then I'm in a foreign country and I don't know how anything fucking works. And I mean,
I have no idea if they would have tried to medevac you over to back to the US, like what the procedure would have been. I don't know, man, but it would have been crazy. It would have been tough. I mean, it's just like, I can't believe it, man. And then the fact that like your whole carotid artery was blocked too.
It's incredible. Nuts. Yeah, well, okay, so I found out we figured out with the doctors and, you know, everybody, kind of, I put together what exactly happened. So the doctors, they were like, you know, there was a bunch of kind of, I'm going to be honest, kind of bumblefuck doctors around, but then, and I was really disheartened because I'm like, I know that what this guy is saying is not right. I knew it, you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, this is my body and this doctor's telling me a bunch of bullshit. Finally, this old school, like, he's from Italy, like, has an Italian accent. He's in, like, this fine suit. He smells good. He's got, like, manly fucking cologne on and shit. And, like, comes in and, like, an old mafia guy. And he sits down and he asks me a couple questions. He's like, did you ever lose feeling or the ability to use your right arm? And I'm like, yeah. I mean, I've told you this story a million times, Sam. That's when I quit fucking wrestling, is I couldn't use my fucking arm.
Oh, like years ago, dude.
Years ago.
I remember that. I just thought it was nerve damage, man.
I thought it was my C5 because I fucked up my C5 and I do get stingers from that in my right arm. But it wasn't that, dude. Again, fucking miracle, man. Because he's like, and did you ever like have like a veil come over your right eye, like where you couldn't see? And at that same time in my life, I thought I was having fucking migraines and I couldn't see. You know what I mean? And he goes, dude, that's when your carotid closed.
Oh my gosh, dude.
So I had that
closed carotid for like years.
For like 5 years, probably.
Holy shit.
Because he's like, did you have cancer as a child and were you radiated in the neck? And, you know, like the hardest thing for me has been, you know, the atrophy in my fucking neck. Like 5 years ago, everything just started fucking shrinking. You know what I mean? Like my entire neck started fucking atrophying and, you know, people tease me for it or whatever, especially being in wrestling, but I didn't know what the fuck was going on. I'm just like, whatever. But it's because my fucking carotid closed 5 years ago and that's when everything started. Like,
so it's not even getting the proper blood supply.
Yeah, dude. And I couldn't use my arm and all this other stuff. And I thought it was my neck injury. So in 2013, I fucking finally retired from wrestling. And that's why, because I'm only operating off of one fucking oxygen system to my brain.
Wow. Dude, that's like, that is so crazy. See, that was new news to me right there.
We just figured this part out. So that carotid has been fucking closed for 5 years already.
Dude, that's incredible, man. That means like your neck and stuff's gonna, it can build back up now that this is fixed.
Well, yeah, so.
Is the tissue done?
Well, so here's the other thing. You know, like I posted these like selfies of me because I'm fucking 46 and I look fucking good. So excuse me, but I posted these fucking selfies of me because I'm looking pretty fucking good. I'm like really in good shape. Well, you know, part of that is because, you know, I take supplementation. One of the supplements, and, you know, it was actually my wife who sent this to me. For 30 years, dude, I have used creatine fairly religiously. I mean, I'm off and on here and then when I'm not really working out. But anytime I'm working out, I've always supplemented with creatine. And that's because I thought it was natural. Your body naturally makes creatine. You know, at that time, there was no side effects. Well, my wife sent me this article. And, dude, the one and two bullet items on this article were for blood clot. The title of the article is like, why are all these professional athletes getting blood clots? And it says, bullet point one, international fucking flights. Bullet point two, fucking creatine. They've done these studies that show that creatine is actually causing clotting.
Wow.
So the carotid was probably from creatine years ago, to be honest. And this one was probably from traveling and taking the creatine in my arm.
Wow.
So I've dodged a bullet fucking twice on this bullshit. As random as that sounds. I mean, the luck, the odds on this are just fucking out of this world. I mean, really.
Yeah. So now, okay. So what's the situation now? So they put you on blood thinners.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then what do you have to do? You have to like keep going back and they're going to check and see if all these clots are gone, or they've already looked at everything and you're cleared up, or
well, so here's the deal. So they say that with blood clots that you have a month, basically. Once you get a blood clot, you have a month, and they can either decide to like Roto-Rooter and go through and like fucking scour out your veins and your arteries or whatever.
Oh man, yeah.
But if after a month, it like becomes a part of your fucking veins. Like the clot like settles in and it's
okay.
It's no longer like a Roto-Rooter situation. It's like, that's part of who you are.
Right. And, right. It's like, not calcified, but like the concept.
Basically. And that was the other thing. I found out all this other weird shit. Cause they put me through like three CAT scans, three fucking ultrasounds, EKGs. I mean, I had my fucking shit scanned upside down and sideways. The only thing they didn't do is stick a fucking finger up my ass. I mean, it was like everything, dude. Come to find out, I have a fucking hernia in my left side. I've got a hernia. I didn't even know. And they also were like, dude, what in the fuck's with your shoulders? You got the shoulders of like a 90-year-old man in terms of calcification. And I'm like, I don't know. And they're like, do you smoke? I'm like, I don't smoke shit. I don't, you know, and I do cannabis, but I do edibles because my lungs are sensitive. So I don't smoke anything. And he's like, well, did you ever do bodybuilding or anything? And I'm like, oh, fuck, dude. It's Hindu fucking push-ups. Because I used to do like 300 fucking push-ups. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Too many Hindu push-ups?
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. Anyway. But so in terms of what I got to deal with is like they put me on this fucking drip of a blood thinner called heparin. And heparin's actually pretty cool because they put you on that in the hospital. Because the second – like. It only takes an hour for that shit to get out of your system. So in case you're in the hospital and they need to do surgery right away, they could take you off the heparin, throw you on the table, and you won't fucking bleed out during surgery.
Okay.
But the other ones, the ones you take over the fucking counter, like the pills, like Coumadin, like Warfarin is the name of the actual brand.
Or, yeah.
There's another one. Can't think of the name of it. And then there's Xarelto. And I'm taking Xarelto. But anyway, they had me on the fucking heparin drip and, you know, they were kind of talking about scoping my arm and shit because it was like, I mean, it's my entire arm is fucking clotted, my left. And they were thinking I was going to have to do surgery. And, you know, that just sounds awful, putting a Roto-Rooter down your veins and shit. I was like not wanting to do that.
Oh, yeah, man.
So they put me on that heparin and my arm, like the swelling went down like by half overnight. And because I was responding so well to the anticoagulants, to these blood thinners, they just decided like, dude, we're not going to touch any of this. We're just going to put you on this shit for like 3 months and
see what happens
and just leave it alone. Cause if it, you know, you're not having pain and you're not having any functionality messed up in your arm, which I'm not, I mean, you saw, dude, I was doing everything normal.
Yeah, no, you were. You're
like
doing
normal. Like it wasn't fucked up. I wasn't favoring it. It's just I felt retarded because it looked gross, like twice as big, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, so that's it, dude. Like I totally, like I am like the luckiest guy in the world. Like I've just probably got to do blood thinners for 3 months.
And so in 3 months, then they're going to check and see how many of these clots are gone.
Well, there's nothing that can really be done with that. Cause, you know, we left on November or on September 11th, right? So it happened on September 11th. That month window is almost gone and I ain't going to fucking do it. I'm like, I'm not I mean, if my arm works and it's just vanity, it looks a little Popeye on one side, then fuck it. I'll just keep it. I don't give a shit. You know what I mean?
All right. Well, what about your neck though? What about the one in the neck?
They definitely don't want to touch that. They're like, we do not want to even touch that. Like if you've been going for 5 years and people can live, you know, clearly on it, it's rare, but, we're not going to touch it. So,
okay. So you basically have for the rest of your life, an occluded artery on your neck.
Yeah, the carotid, unless, I mean, you know.
I mean, you've had it for probably 5 years.
For 5 years. Now, the reason for the blood thinner is that your body can't absorb the clots. So, you know, they're like, it may or may not. Like, so he's like, your arm may or may not go down. You know, you got to be prepared for that. But what happens with these clots, instead of roto-rooting it, it takes like 6 months. But your body will reabsorb the clot.
Okay.
So we'll have to see. I mean, you know, I might get my carotid back on the left side.
Yeah.
But we'll have to just see.
That would be great if you did.
Oh, fuck. Can you imagine, dude? I can start fucking wrestling again, dude. Like,
yeah.
I mean, you and I talked about it. I'm feeling so good physically that I'm almost feeling like I could wrestle again. Well, now I fucking can't because I'm on blood thinners. But I mean, really, if I got fucking both fucking carotids going, I'd be all about it, dude.
Yeah, I mean, you were talking about that a lot when we were over there. You know, I'm going to start deadlifting, and then I want to get back. I want to do some wrestling. I want to compete again.
Well, we'll see how. Now I've got new information, so we might have to see how that all works out.
Yeah, I mean, dude, Jake, you just got to focus on this right now, man.
Yeah. So,
here's what I want to know, though, like. Are you allowed to fly now? Like, how are you going to get to all these clinics and stuff?
Yeah, I could fly. So the first thing I did was fucking just quit creatine. I just can't do fucking creatine ever again. Like, I just can't do it. And then the second thing is that I have to take blood thinners before I fly. So, before I go on a flight anywhere, I just have to get on blood thinners. And then after the flight's done, stop taking them. Then take
them. So here's the other thing, though. I think you're going to have to stop this this idea of, like, we're going to clump all the clamps together. And it's going to be like, because, dude, literally, you had flown every other week someplace.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, for the last month. Because we were in Pinyon Hills.
Yep.
Then you flew home.
Yep.
Then, like, a week off. And the next week, you flew to San Diego. Yep. Then you went home, week off. Next week, flew to the UK.
Yep.
I mean, that's like within a month. Mm-hmm. You've been flying like every other week.
Yeah, I'm going to have to. I mean, you and I talked about us, you know, as we learn things with the camp and stuff, that things are going to have to change and tweak things here and there as, you know, make improvements and make things more streamlined and whatnot. But you're probably right about that. I'm probably going to have to. I think what I'll probably do is start running a camp here in Denver so I don't have to fucking fly. You know,
yeah.
Definitely keep San Diego. Cause I mean, I just love Southern California. San Diego is such fucking a strong territory for us. And I would like to keep, Doncaster going, but other than that, yeah, I'm probably going to become a bit of a fucking homebody, I think.
Yeah. You're just going to have to schedule that San Diego, not close to Doncaster.
I mean, it's fucking crazy, right? Like, I mean, this is the craziest shit. I should totally be like a fucking stroke case or a heart attack or even have my arm amputated. But here we are fucking joking about it. I mean, it really is unbelievable. I'm like the most grateful guy on the planet. I can't even believe it.
No, I'm grateful too, Jake. We need you to be around for a long time still.
Well, I hope so. Yeah. I can say this. I'm hard to kill. I'm very fucking hard to kill. I can tell you that. I've had a few run-ins and I'm still here. So, okay. Now that that's done and I had to tell this on the fucking podcast only because, and I mean, man, the outpouring of like support and, you know, people checking in on me and sending messages was fucking unbelievable. And I am so grateful. Like it really, really like touched me, you know, it's really, really touching. And I appreciate that. However, the reason of getting this out on the podcast is because, I mean, I've had to tell this fucking story like 1,000 times already, and I'm only like, I haven't even been out of the hospital a week. So now I can just point people to the fucking podcast. But that said, okay, I'm sure it'll become part of some of this, the tales that, Sam and I regale about our travels to the UK. But it was a pretty fun trip, wouldn't you say? I mean, I think we did it. We had some really kick-ass camps. And it was, I mean, you know, a lot of times when you're doing these things, it's work. It's not fun. But I think we had one hell of a good time, too.
It was awesome. It was awesome. I hadn't been over there in the UK for like 6 years.
Yeah.
The last time I was there, it was when we were over there with Billy.
That'd be what, 2013?
Yeah. And so it was fun to go back and I thought even without Billy there, it went really, really well. Like it was a great time. We got through a lot of Billy's material, more than had Billy been there, because Billy was such a perfectionist that, you know, Jacob, but for everybody else to know, I mean, somebody was messing up on a technique, like Billy couldn't handle it until they at least got it right once.
Dude, you know? I mean, there were guys that were doing like a fucking move, and it's like a basic move, like a pivot or something, like for an hour. I mean, it's like, it was like a drill sergeant. Like, I mean, and the thing is the rest of the group would suffer, and God love Billy. I mean, because he's the one who taught us all this shit and insisted that we get it right so we could do that. But yeah, in some ways, you know, like just having you and me there, man, we burned through so much fucking material that usually I think had Billy been there, it would have taken like 3 or 4 camps for us to get through probably.
Yeah. The other thing was that the turnout was really good too. Like I was worried without Billy, is anybody going to show up and want to train? And there were a lot of people, and all the camps were packed out. A lot of people.
And you and I talked about this, cause we've had camps where it's guys, you know, that are maybe not athletic or, you know, not haven't grappled and stuff. And that's okay, you know, cause it really is open to all levels, but that presents its own set of challenges when, you know, you're trying to coach, and especially when you got a diverse group of guys, because sometimes they slow things down. I mean, this group, both groups at both camps in the UK, well, I mean, all the groups, like from this fall tour, from Pinion Hills to San Diego to Doncaster and London, we had great fucking guys. I mean, we really had, it went so good. I couldn't ask for an improvement. Everybody was there, nobody bitched and moaned. Nobody was the guy always asking questions, trying to slow the class down. Just everybody grinded it out. It was awesome.
Yeah, I agree. The level of everybody was really good, and even the people that were newer or beginners, like, dude, they just trained straight through it, and at the end of the camp, they were all better wrestlers than when they started.
100%. Yeah. I mean, and what I really enjoyed is, you know, when Billy passed, like that was a real tough year for me. So, you know, that's 2013 is when I quit wrestling because of this fucking carotid thing. And that was really depressing. And then like literally like 2 months later, Billy died, and I was so depressed, you know, and, I'm so grateful to, both Wade Chalice and Josh Barnett. They really kind of helped scientific wrestling keep going by doing the seminars and stuff like that and traveling to the UK and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I am forever indebted to those guys because they really, really helped keep scientific wrestling going while I got my fucking head right. And you came to me and you finally got me over my moping and shit and was like, dude, listen, nobody else is going to be able to teach this Billy Robinson stuff. I mean, literally the only two guys are fucking Hideki Suzuki and Miyato, and they're in Japan, you know? So like, I'm really glad that we were able to get back there and start showing, you know, really Billy stuff. Like, cause there's nobody else was showing that. Josh's stuff is Josh's stuff. He's earned the right. You know what I mean? He's done everything and he has his ways of doing things. Same with Wade, but you know, nobody was really teaching the Billy Robinson style. And so that was really exciting because I started, see, You remember at camps, man, like people would come into camp not knowing what to expect. And at the end of camp, like just their minds were fucking blown, you know, with Billy.
Yeah.
I started seeing guys getting that again with what we were doing with Billy's material. And that is how I knew, like, fuck yeah, this is really killing it. And, you know, now that we've done like 2 years of these camps on the reboot of the Certified Catch Wrestler program, Coaching Catch, man, I think we got it down, dude. It was like, we really got a nice system down. A 3-day camp that really accelerates guys in wrestling very quickly.
I agree, for sure. And it's a lot of fun to do it. It's a lot of fun to meet everybody and hang out with all these new friends and stuff. It's just a great time.
Yeah. All right. So let's see. We're already at a half hour and we've already talked about all this mopey shit. So let's talk about some of the fun stuff of the UK. We're going to take a commercial break here real quick. And then let's talk about, you guys got to fucking hear the story about these pissers that they have in fucking London. I mean, it is the coolest thing. Sam has a whole video on his Instagram. We got to figure out how to make that permanent
anymore. It was in the deleted one.
Dude, you got to put that on your YouTube or something.
I'll put it up on my YouTube eventually. Yeah.
Okay. We'll hang in there. We got to pay the bills and then we'll be back and talk about all the great stuff in the UK. It was really a great trip. This is the Do It Again podcast. I'm Jake Shannon. I'm joined by Sam Crushton today. We'll be back right after the break. All right. We are back. The Do It Again podcast, official podcast of Scientific Wrestling. I am your host, Jake Shannon. I am still fucking alive to the chagrin of some and to the happiness of many, though. And I'm joined by my very good friend and partner in all things catch wrestling, Sam Crescent. Sam, so, okay, we'll talk about the pissers in a second, guys. You just have to go to London just for the fucking pisser. It's so mind-blowing. Are you there, Sam? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, good. So, was there anything that really stood out to you? I know you were kind of blown away by some of the castles and stuff, but, you know, what really, anything that really stood out to you in the UK trip?
Well, yeah, I mean, this time was different because when we went over there with Billy, we were limited on mobility, right?
Yeah.
Because people that don't know that weren't around Billy Robinson those last few years, I mean, he was on his last legs. Like, he was hobbling around, and it was hard to get around places. And they, I mean, we've got some – when we went through Venice and stuff with Billy Robinson, there were some – sketchy moments of him getting in and out of boats where we're like, dude, like, I remember like trying to stabilize his leg while he's like stepping from like the boat to the dock and just hoping that he's not gonna end
dude,
up
if he out. Went in the water, we'd be fucked, dude. There's no, I mean, he was a big dude, like,
dude, he was big, man. That was intense. So this time we were able to go get around and see some of the castles and some of the sites and everything. And of course, myself as a longtime fan of Dungeons and Dragons and all things that nature, I definitely wanted to get inside some actual real castles and like really spend some time in there, taking them in and cruising around and getting some rad photos and video footage and everything. And we were able to do that. And
it let's talk about York first, right? Because you'd gone to York before. Like, we'd gone into the York prison, which is totally scary, by the way. Like, it's just a giant medieval prison with, like, worse than Guantanamo Bay conditions. You know, I mean, it's awful. So, but we had gone in there with Billy. This time, we just kind of toured the city. But that fucking, that keep was, like, crazy. What was the name of it? You know
the
name of it,
right? Clifford's Tower. Clifford's Tower's in the...
Clifford's Tower.
Yeah, it's kind of in the middle of York. And the whole kind of city area of York is surrounded... York is surrounded by castle walls that you can walk on. You can walk the walls of York, which is really cool. So we were like strategizing, of course, about like how we'd fight people off and stuff.
Well, it's interesting because you could see how they, what their strategies were. And they were pretty clever for, you know, not having fucking drones and nukes and that kind of shit, right? Like, this Clifford's Tower was on top of a hill already.
Really steep hill.
So to be able to fucking get up and attack this fucking, this tower, you'd have to, like, with your full armor and your fucking heavy-ass sword and all this shit, you'd have to climb this giant hill, first of all, which is, like, totally difficult. Meanwhile, you look up at the top of the tower, and everybody's raining down shit. I mean, they could be dropping boiling oil or shooting arrows at you. I mean, and then you can't scale the wall because it's almost like leaning outwards. Or
the
whatever.
Wall kind of concaves in. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You remember when that there was we were on top of the wall and there's this like Australian dude that's like,
yeah,
would you put yourself over there? I can't even do an Australian accent, but he was challenging me to like lean over the wall to get like a cool shot. So finally I gave in and I did it. And I'll put that video on YouTube when I get around to it. And you can see like the concave action of that wall curving.
It like curves in. It's like narrower at the base than it is up at the top. So even if you got to the top of the thing, you couldn't scale it because it's like you'd almost have to be rock climbing at an angle that's slightly upside down.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it was high, dude. I'm really surprised that the railing around that thing was so low because, I mean, you'd think people would be falling off that thing and dying like some, you know, dingleberry tourist or something. Because
I've gone through so many YouTube vortexes of like people falling off cliffs and stuff,
yeah,
you know, that I immediately start thinking of, you know, whoa, you know, there's got to be some dummy that's like, this is going to be a good YouTube video or something, and he backs up too far and falls over.
I mean, it was high, dude. I don't usually have like fear of heights or whatever, but man, I was feeling it, you know, like quivering butthole kind of thing. It was like, whoa, dude, this is really high up.
Same. It's like when I was younger, I pretty much had no fear of heights or anything. And then as I get older and older, I'm like, I don't want to die more or something. I don't know what the difference is, man.
Well, and it was cool too. The staircases, you know, the staircases are these like, they're stone, but they're like these narrow spiral staircases, and they only curve to the right. Isn't that right? They curve to the right.
So if you're going down, you're turning towards the right. If you're coming up, you're going
to the left. Yeah.
You're going to the left.
And the reason, right, is so that like one guy could stand on those stairs, and as people came up, you just keep stabbing them with a fucking spear
right.
or something.
If you're right-handed and it's curving right, then you've got the most protection. And then your right hand is the first thing they're going to come in around the corner. And back then, because of all the, you know, the left hand was considered like satanic and stuff.
Yeah, the hand of the devil or something.
Yeah, like everybody was right-handed.
Right. You know? Yeah, like, they killed you. They killed you if you were left-handed, man. That's a rough world.
Right. If you were born left-handed, you became right-handed.
Yeah, right.
You're like, oh yeah, I'm right-handed.
I'm not left-handed. What are you, crazy?
But I love spiral staircases because I going back to comic books, I was way into the early Bernie Wrightson run of Swamp Thing, and there's an issue where he gets Swamp Thing gets taken to this castle and he gets pulled up these spiral staircases and stuff. And I was thinking about that because they looked like the comic book, but they were way cooler.
Yeah, I mean, it's the architecture is really cool. And for those of you in the States who've never gone over to Europe or really maybe traveled outside the United States, it's really cool because, you know, all the architecture here is maybe 400 years old, you know, like the oldest stuff.
Yeah.
You know, over there, there's cobble roads that are still being used and driven on that the Romans used like 2,000 years ago and stuff. I mean, it's unbelievable. So that was York. We went all around York.
And your favorite, don't forget about your favorite part of York though, Jake.
Fuck.
The Jorvik Center.
Okay. So I'm going to preface this that I do have not a lot of expertise, but a little bit of expertise in like the attractions industry. Like, you know, when you buy a ticket and you go into a museum or an amusement park or whatever. And, you know, my wife and I have, we do business in that arena. That's our like mom and pop little business. And so who was it? Was it Andy? I think Andy was the one who was like, you got to check out the Jorvik Center. And because it's all Vikings and Sam's way into Vikings. And
yeah, I mean, cool. I was super amped about that because I love Vikings. I love Norse mythology. I like heavy metal bands like, or like power metal bands like Glory Hammer is my favorite one right now. And so it's all like Viking theme type stuff. And so I was like, dude, we got to check out this Viking stuff.
Well, and it's cool. I mean, it is admittedly, it's very cool. And
well, I was expecting it to be like super rad. I think my expectation was maybe too high.
So we go in And it's this, it's nice, okay? I mean, it's nice. I'm not ragging on the Jorvik Center, but I'm going to give them some fucking pointers here because.
Yeah, but Jake, you go in and you go underground. Like, that was the first thing that was weird to me. Like, you go in and it's, dude, it's in this old building down, like, down in York and stuff.
Yeah, like right in the center of York.
Like, yeah, and all this, all the buildings and stuff in York are super, it's like walking through the streets of Harry Potter, like where he buys his wands and stuff, but it's real.
Yeah, it's like if you went to a Renaissance festival, but it was like they had like $1 trillion to actually do it right. I mean, it's like you're going back in time. This architecture is like 1,000 years old. You know, I mean,
you even said that you said, dude, this is like a 24-hour Renaissance
festival. I mean, that's such an American fucking thing to say, but
yeah, to get back on track though, you go underground. Into this like basement, and it's all dark, and you wait in this line.
Yeah, but wait, now you got to say it like, okay, so Sam just was like floored because we're like, okay, so you go underground and there's these like fucking, it's like when you go in the Haunted Mansion at Disneyland, those cars you get in, it's like on a track, right? And they like can turn and rotate and show you the different shit. That's what you have to get in this fucking like
except ride. Except when it's like this, when you get on those cars at the Haunted Mansion, you know how there's like the guy in the wheelchair that needs to get on? So they slow him down for the wheelchair guy to get on. Well, that's the speed they're moving at normally.
Yeah, it's like, it's super slow. But it's so funny because like Sam was floored by the use of the word brilliant in the UK. Like he just.
So the people working there are wearing like traditional Viking garb, except it's like bright colored, like Disneyland costume. Yeah. Viking garb. It's not. It doesn't look like
authentic.
Yeah, real authentic. You know, I wanted to see something from like a, you know, like I don't know. Anyway, so there's this woman and she's wearing like these traditional Viking robes and stuff, and she's like, "How many are in your party, sir?" To the guy in front of us, and he's all five, and she goes, "Five, brilliant." And I was like,
"Dude, is it really brilliant?"
Yeah, and that like that I haven't heard the word brilliant used like that before. I was like, wow, he's got five people in his party. It's brilliant. This is amazing.
Well, we finally determined that basically, if you swap out awesome for brilliant, it's kind of the same thing. Like in terms of like the languages, you know, from the United States, yeah, or whatever.
It's a swap for yeah. Sure. I was talking like I was British for probably 2 days when I got back, and then now. My whole Southern California accent's back.
Come back. Right.
I've lost like all the sophisticated components of my speech.
Yeah, but it wasn't you were speaking with like the northern part of England. So everything was like, "Have you seen me pants?"
I'm like, yeah. and you're telling me like, dude, nobody in London's gonna say me like that.
Yeah, I'm like down south, they're gonna think you're like from the country, man. So we get in this fucking weird teacup ride. And, you know, we're going around and it's, I mean, okay, listen, I don't want to rag on this place because they were doing the best they could, but it was like fucking, it was like Chuck E. Cheese's fucking Viking edition. Like they had like all these weird animatronics doing stuff and that's all fine. I'd still be fine with it. Cause what was it? It was like £12 to get in or something like that. I mean,
yeah. And to their credit, the animatronic characters, like the Viking, like we were going through like a traditional Viking village and everybody's doing like their Viking stuff, which unfortunately didn't include any like raids or battle axe fights or, you know, right. Shields and stuff. But we're going through that in the animatronic characters. They made their facial features based on skulls of actual Vikings.
Yeah. And that is cool. I have to say that is cool. I mean, I would definitely tell people to go. But okay, now here's why I will never fucking go again on that ride. I will never go again on that ride until they fix this shit. So they warned us at the beginning. And they're like, okay, get ready to go into this magical world of the Vikings and all this shit. And I'm like, okay, cool. And then they're like, and it's going to smell like Vikings. And I'm like, I just put that in the back of my head, but I'm like, it's going to smell like Vikings. All right, fine. Dude. We went through this one phase and they had like smell-o-vision or something where they wanted to, and it was rotting meat or something. I don't know. It just was the worst fucking smell.
I think, yeah. And I think the guy was supposed to be cooking ribs or something.
It was awful.
No, man. It was the worst smell.
Because it wasn't even like real rotten meat. It was like synthetic, like them trying to create rotten meat. It was like if you mixed like rotten meat and it was made by Febreze. You know, it was like
Gross. It was terrible.
So we go through this fucking ride, man, and then we're walking around York all day, and man, there's so much like steak pies and fucking roast beef and carveries and all this kind of beef shit, man. Every time I walked by a place and smelled beef, I was like sick to my stomach, man. They need to not do that smell-o-vision because they're turning. I guarantee you, I can't be the only person that will never go back to there as long as they've got that smell in there. It ruined my day. It was awful.
Yeah, it really affected you. Like Jake was literally like getting nauseous and stuff like the rest of the day. He was like smell sensitive after that.
Oh, that was gross, dude. That was really gross. Bad. All right, so, but York was pretty amazing. Like the architecture, some of those crazy ass buildings and stuff were like, oh man. And even like they'd have ruins where you could see like, you know, the old buildings had like fallen apart. I mean, it was amazing. But then the next day we were able to get to, what was it, Cornsborough?
Cornsborough.
And there's Cornsborough. A castle in Doncaster, and it's like one of the oldest castles. I don't know if it's the oldest castle, but it's like an old castle, one of the oldest in England. And it was really impressive. I mean, it was really, really impressive. We went there and we spent like 3 hours just fucking exploring this crazy ass castle.
Yeah, it's a huge tower, and you can go you can go up in that tower and, you know, get into all the different rooms and all the outhouses up there, like where they went to the bathroom. They had chapels, they had mess halls. I mean,
The bathroom, by the way, is just like a hole in the floor that drops the shit all the way down to the outside of the castle.
Yeah.
Like 3 or 4 stories. It's like crazy.
Yeah. The bathrooms were actually very interesting.
And then, so we'd spent all that time up there, which was great. And then we took a train, and that was after that we had done the Doncaster camp. Then we took a train down to London and got into our hotel, did the camp, and we just had the, you know, so Chris Ferran, and again, thank you very much to Andy Crittenden. He was the guy who really kind of kicked this whole thing off and was like, you need to come back to the UK and stuff. So very, very deep thanks to Andy for kicking our butt and getting us over there. And then also deep thanks to Chris Ferran at Premier BJJ and Catch Wrestling down in London. And another huge thanks to Brendan Malloy, who is one of the guys at the gym in London, but he took us all around. I mean, it was cool, right? Like the first night we got there, we were just stoked to be having some sort of food that was like different than
not English.
I mean, man, there was only so much eggs and sausages and baked beans I could have for breakfast after a while, man. It was getting a little rough. And then, I mean, dude, you ate like while we were up in the north, all you ate was fish and chips.
Pretty much. Pretty much like was just doing, and when Billy went up there, that's what he would eat. And he would take like a whole bottle of vinegar and just drench the thing with vinegar, with like that malt vinegar. And then he would eat it. And so I was doing that. I was doing like the full Billy Robinson.
Yeah, you kept that traditional.
Yeah, I was keeping it going. And actually, I understand why he did it. That actually tastes pretty good.
Yeah, that's good. So, but when we got down there, we finally had what? Thai food and Indian food, and all these different kind of cuisines, which was really nice. But the first night, we kind of walked around, went to the center of London, and was that? No, the second night was the pisser night.
Yeah. We went to
Paul went with us on that night, on the second night.
Yeah, Paul went with us, and we went to – and the cool thing is we all like comic books. So Brendan took us to, like, all the comic book shops and stuff.
Yeah.
We went to this one that was huge. It was, like, just giant. I mean, there was so much stuff to look at in there. It was – mind-blowing.
Yeah. Now I don't know like what kind of rent they're paying, because that was like, it was like 2 floors and massive, and it was just, you know, kind of Comic-Con type of products in there. I mean, and it's right in the heart of London, so they must be like making some serious money right there.
Yeah, there was a lot of people in there.
It was packed.
It was packed. It was really rad. And we are out of there, and we're going down. We're walking down the street, and Brendan, all of a sudden, he walks up to this thing that looks like a tripod of drinking fountains.
But the drinking fountains are a little low. You're like thinking it's like, okay, maybe it's for
like
kids
kid level something. Drinking fountains.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he's like unzipping his pants, and then he's standing inside this tripod thing, and he's like pissing.
But it's like pissing on a tree, dude. Like, it's like everybody's walking by in busy London. It's like if you just unzipped your fly and pissed on a tree. Like, you don't have any privacy. It's just that your dick's facing towards this fucking little cubby hole, and they can't see it because it's in the cubby hole. But you're standing out there. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen,
and
man.
And he's like, why are these guys watching me take a piss? Because me and Dick were just staring. I'm like, dude, what the hell is this?
I'm like, dude, he just whipped his dick out and is pissing right in the middle of the street. So then, of course, we had to try it.
Yeah.
Which was amazing. I was really surprised. No stage fright. I'm very proud. I had no stage fright. Now, I had 3 beers, so that helped. But I had no stage fright. Just fucking unzipped and went. And people walking by. It was the weirdest thing.
Yeah, dude. You were peeing for like a minute and a half. I mean, all 3 of us were peeing at the same time on this thing. It was. And the weird thing is it's like it'll lower into the ground like a manhole.
Yeah. At night, it's like so high tech. It like goes down, then it's like, it looks like a manhole. And then in the morning, like it raises back up and you can piss in it.
Yeah, that was one of the weirder things I saw. And then after that, remember we had to pee so bad that the next time we were walking around, I was like, man, I wish we could find one of those things.
I know, like it was everywhere. I mean, it was downtown, it was everywhere. But when you're walking around doing the tourist thing, they really need to.
Yeah, they don't have them near Parliament and stuff. I understand why. You know, they probably want to present a different image around.
Yeah, they don't want people pissing in the street, like just standing there peeing for photos and shit.
Yeah, but we were over by, I don't know where, what, I have no idea what area of London that was. There's like lots of like bars and pubs and restaurants and stuff. So,
well, that first night we went to that, I can't remember the name of that bar, but they had all that Iron Maiden themed stuff. It was that heavy metal bar. And that was pretty amazing. That was really fun. And that was the pisser night, and the night we went to all the comic book stores. And then the last night, Brendan took us like on this massive tour where we got to see Buckingham Palace. We got to see Parliament. We saw Big Ben.
We saw Winston Churchill's bunkers.
Yeah, we saw the Tower of London.
We saw Horse Guard.
Yep.
We went everywhere, man.
That was a hell of a trek, dude. We went to World Parks.
Hey, that was insane.
Saw Shakespeare's, like where Shakespeare's original theater in the Round was.
Yeah.
I mean, it was fucking a badass tour. Brandon really knows London. I mean, he's like, he really knows all the little nooks and crannies of London.
Oh, we even saw the first skate park.
Yeah.
Which was kind of cool too, actually. Because it was like all graffitied up and stuff. And there were kids trying to do tricks and everything. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it was really a fun trip. And again, like everybody at the camp was just top notch. They just did such a great job.
Yeah, it was a great time, man.
And then we flew back and that was it, man. So, I mean, it was a really fruitful trip, except for the fact that then I had to spend 3 days in the hospital, but all that shit aside, I mean, it was really an amazing, journey. And I do hope, as the name of the podcast, might imply, I hope to do it again. Cause I thought it was really great.
Yeah. I think it would be great if we can go back again next year, do it again. Get everybody to come back, get some more new people in there, because it's super fun. It's like hanging out like this, but all day, and we're wrestling and doing rad techniques and stuff.
Time. And it's still, what's so cool is there so few people really know like any of the cool tricks that it's still very much wide open. You know, I think very few people really know the Billy Robinson style. So it's really neat to like open people's eyes to it. And I was shocked that all the guys from Ireland were so responsive, man. So maybe we can get out to Ireland in the next year or two.
I'd love it.
So, all right, Sam, anything else to add? We're already rolling up on an hour here.
I don't know. Nothing comes to my brain right now.
All right. Yeah, it was a good trip, man. So maybe you could try to get those YouTube clips up, and when they're up, I'll tell people the URL or whatever. They could check out the fucking pisser. I mean, it really is pretty crazy, dude.
Yeah, for sure. I'll get them up there. I've got a bunch of awesome clips that I took from the UK. I've got some cool clips of Marty Jones showing some technique.
Yeah, let's talk about Marty for a second. I mean, that was a real nice, pleasant surprise, you know?
I enjoyed training with Marty quite a lot.
I had been lucky enough to have a camp. It was actually when Billy died and Wade stepped in kind of to take over. Thank goodness, because we already had it booked and everything was set to go. And then it was like, whoa, the whole attraction has passed away. And Wade came in, and then Marty came down to help out. And I was like, shit, Marty actually knows a thing or two here about catch, not just pro wrestling, because he's such a big name in the pro wrestling. But yeah, he was a lot of fun and knew a lot of cool stuff. Like, you could see the cobwebs kind of getting dusted off as we were showing shit, and he'd start being like, oh yeah, what about this and that?
Yeah, there was a, you know, what's interesting about Marty is that he trained with Billy Robinson when he was a little kid and Billy was a young man.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like right before Billy's pro wrestling career just blew up to the point where he was constantly gone
and he'd left
not
England.
Able to coach anymore. And I mean, Marty trained with him, you know, when Billy was every day. But the cool thing is that Marty was able to, so he saw Billy, young Billy, and he saw him wrestle, and he would remember things like, oh, when Billy used to wrestle, he would usually do this, and he would, you know, and it would just be like a little thing about the stance or a little thing about how he would peel an arm or something,
or
like that.
He'd feed people the head to bait him.
Feed people the head, yeah. And then you can see right away, having learned a lot of Billy Robinson material, right away you can see that Billy Robinson logic and style, you know, behind or strategy behind what Marty was showing. And that was kind of cool to couple that up, because we got to see Billy at the very end of his life.
Yeah, and Marty saw him at the very beginning of his career.
Exactly. So it was kind of cool that you had two bookends coming together and just remembering Billy and training his stuff and doing it. And it was a great time. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah. He teased you mercilessly about falling asleep, though, which was, I thought, that was quite hilarious.
Marty's got a lot of stories. I mean, the guy was a pro wrestler around the world in Japan. He, you know, I did a little interview with him. I'll put it up on my YouTube soon, and you can learn more about him. But, dude, I'm like jet lagged, so I'm falling asleep around six or I'm time zoned, falling asleep around 6 or 7 o'clock every night. And Marty's telling some pro wrestling story or something. I don't remember, because I just like, we're at the dinner table. I literally just like fell asleep. Like, I'm sitting there, I'm just like asleep. And then Marty's like, what is he doing? And, you know, he's sleeping, you're going to fall asleep. And he never let me off the hook after that.
Well, that's also because the first time he met you in 2013 was at that Leeds Wrestle reunion. You dozed off during that one too.
Oh yeah, that one. that we were there till like midnight.
It was a rough one.
It was like a 2 hour drive or something.
Yeah, I mean, I think we had done like camp or seminar, and then
we did a full day of camp, then drove 2 hours. Get to this wrestling reunion.
It was a slow moving event. So Sam kept passing out.
It was cool. It was super cool. But man, I could not stay awake, man. I was still on USA time and falling asleep, and it was rough.
And how cool was it to down at London? Because Marty couldn't make it down to London. So he called up Lee Bronson, who was the last guy that wrestled Billy in the UK before he went off and had his adventures in the world and became famous internationally. And Lee, man, the guy has to be in his 60s, and he was down on the mat with everybody. It was the greatest thing.
Lee got down on the mat and trained with
all
us
day.
Like the whole morning. Yeah, the whole first day. Yeah, the whole first day. Lee was training, working holds. It was awesome. It was super fun.
Yeah. I mean, that was really amazing. So, And hopefully, guys, we're hoping maybe we can get Marty out to a camp at San Diego. So if you think there, if you guys have any interest in that, you know, just message us either through Facebook or you know how to get a hold of us. So let us know if that's something you'd be interested in. It was really, it was really actually pretty cool.
Yeah, let Jake know because then we can get a list together.
Yeah,
and that way, you know, if we do get the opportunity for Marty to be over here, we can get contact all the people that really want to have that experience of training with them and try to make that available to you.
Yeah, and guys, get over to the pinandsubmit.com website, the whole word, pin and Andy submit, pinandsubmittogether.com. Get on there. You know, you can message us, and if you want us to come out and do a camp, like that's what happened in Pinyon Hills. We went out there, did a two-day camp. It was fantastic, you know. Matt Mullen contacted us to come out to his gym. We will do that. I mean, you might have to give me a minute because I need to probably cycle through these blood thinners, but definitely by once Christmas isn't over and all that kind of stuff, give us a call because we'll come out and run a camp over at your place.
I'd love to do it.
Yeah. Sam, anything else to add?
I think that was an awesome podcast, Jake.
Yeah, that was good. Thanks for everything during the camp. Thanks for helping out when my fucking Popeye arm was freaking me out and all that stuff. I really appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for bringing me along and all the wrestling opportunities that you've provided me with.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you've just done the thing that most people won't do, and that's just fucking consistently shown up. So, I mean, you've really applied yourself, and I'm really excited too because. So we're collaborating on this this new book, and it's basically so guys that come to the camp, you've already seen the manual. It's basically just kind of an expanded version of the manual, but I'm really excited because Sam is doing the illustrations. And you know, for those of you who don't know, Sam's a graphic artist and creates his own comic books and does commissioned art and all these kind of things. But he's like probably the only guy who does that that is a good artist and drawer that will actually be able to draw the images in the correct way for this manual. I'm really excited. So hopefully we'll have something for you in the early 2020 that you guys can check out, a really deep manual on Catch as Catch Can. Sam, thanks a ton, man. We'll talk to you real soon.
Okay, Jake, talk to you later.